Hello, hello, hello.
And welcome to the next episode of the Shane Walsh podcast. So today is an episode that is in response to a few different and sometimes difficult conversations that I've had with clients in the last kind of little while in relation to the area of body image. And it's one of those things that I think no matter what stage of life you are at, you probably have had some element of it. And I think it's important that when we get to a point with our bodies and how it looks and how it feels, etc., it's often not what the body looks like. It's often what that look is distracting you from, and there's the other issues that it's distracting you from. So I'm going to go through a couple of examples of hypothetical situations and stories that I've kind of created from people that I've spoken to over the last kind of 6 years of coaching people. And they're not direct stories, but they're kind of like combination of a few different stories, and I'm hoping people relate to them. So the big thing to realize is when we kind of are picking and nitpicking and almost obsessing about our body, it's helping you to avoid something. I think that's a big thing to realize. So I'm hopefully you get something out of today's episode. So before I go into today's episode, I just want to give you a quick little update that there is a free resource on how to lose weight without tracking calories. It's a free ebook. It's 9 pages, it's been created by myself, and it's a really useful step-by-step approach on how to do that. MyFitnessPal is a great tool. Those apps are a great tool in the right hands. A hammer is a great tool in the right hands, but you wouldn't give it to a child. Now, counting calories is an amazing tool, but not everyone should be doing it. If it's a whole point that you don't count on weekends, maybe it's a point that you don't count when you've gone over your calories, or you don't count when maybe you've snacked a little bit more, that's a sign that MyFitnessPal isn't the right tool for you, and you probably need to learn how to do it without it. There's a reason why 85% of my one-to-one clients, whose photos you can see up on my social media and the transformations that they've had from mental health, relationship with food, the transformation photos that they have, that's because they've learned how to eat for themselves. So this could be the most important ebook that you've ever downloaded. So if you're looking for a free resource, click on the link in the show notes, download your free copy, and I hope that you enjoy it. So if we are to realistically look at over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, our culture has been really, really dominated and maintained its long time obsession with kind of how we look and weight, and it's added extra obsessions with kind of like gym, looking toned, fitness, health, wellness, anti-aging, nutrition, all these kind of different things, and silly things like biohacking, all that kind of stuff. And since this is kind of, this narrative has been created for us, social media and magazines, all this kind of stuff, diet culture, we started valuing bodies that were strong, and we've started valuing bodies that were strong and lean over bodies that were thin. So if you look at, say, the actors that are out there now, they're being celebrated for looking strong compared to maybe back in the day when actors maybe were celebrated for looking stick thin. And a lot of people can use fitness as a hobby, and people can use it as a release, a stress mechanism, as a way just to kind of clear their head. And it's important to know that more and more people are investing in themselves, in time, money, energy, into getting stronger, improving their health, their mental health, their fitness. And it's great to see. But one of the things that can come on the other side of things, we can't really have a good without a bad. Like, we can't, there's a book called The Happiness Trap by Russ Harris. And in that book, he says that we cannot experience the good times if we don't have the bad times. And it's similar to this, that there are extremes that people can go towards. And we might actually think that all these people focusing on their bodies is a great thing, and that we don't have an obesity epidemic right now, and
Would it be better off if we spent more time and energy focusing on our bodies? I would probably say not exactly. First of all, many people who, how do I say this? Many people only zero in on actually when they look at the mirror and they look at themselves in the mirror, they only hone in on what's wrong or what's bad about their bodies. And they focus on their bodies as an actual form of punishment and self-abuse. It can be a self-abuse of talking to yourself in a negative way. It can be pinching things. It can be putting yourself down. It can be not wearing certain clothes that you want to. And many people are investing time and attention into their body, but are never actually seeing the changes or the results they're wanting because they're focused on picking apart the flaws, only that they can see. They want the weight they need to lose or want to lose, the gym sessions they feel guilty about skipping, or the food they know that they or feel that they shouldn't have because they can't help themselves. But this kind of body focus can hardly be. I wouldn't exactly call this fitness or health. I wouldn't call it actually a healthy perspective or a positive perspective to be looking at. And that's why I say to clients, the weight, the body you're looking for ultimately is going to weigh more. And the weight that you're looking for, it isn't really a weight that you're looking for. It's a feeling that you're looking for. Because if it's only ever going to be a number on the scales, you've weighed that before at some stage, I'd say. But it was probably through restrictive methods, always hungry, that food was always on your mind. And there comes to a case in point of the extremes, either way, but it also comes to a point of generally the happy medium is where people are okay with. But it's unsexy. Like if I created a female maintenance program, I can't imagine it selling very well, can you? The extremes work. The fitness industry works on your insecurities. But if we think about it, the negative self-talk and stress are particularly bad for your health. Even if you're trying to focus on creating positive environments or creating positive habits. And then you look at PTs or people who focus on their bodies and get the fruits for the labor and the results that they want, and they work really, really hard. They lose the weight, they get stronger, they feel more energized, and they discover how empowering and amazing it can be to kind of feel and stick to something and feel like they're a found a vocation or a feeling that they are accepted. And many people, and I would have put myself into this bracket when I first started doing PT. Would have put myself into the bracket of seeing nothing wrong with spending a huge amount of time working out or prepping some meals or thinking about food and exercise, checking progress, doing measurements, etc., having a coach to check in with. I genuinely enjoyed lifting heavier. I felt almost like a full-time job, but it took away from other things. I loved the results. I loved how I felt. I loved how I felt in clothes. I was loving how I looked. But there's part of me that also can't help but wondering how many years I spent arranging my life around these workouts. Socializing, saying no to certain events, not going to certain events because I needed to do this, to do this, to do this. But why should I be missing out? Because I think people need to realize that there is a cost to everything. And that's what I'm here to talk about. The cost of focusing on our bodies and what focusing on our bodies keeps us from paying attention to. And the truth is that obsessively focusing on anything really means we don't have to focus on much other stuff at all. So in huge chunks of our mental and emotional real estate are occupied by workouts, nutrition, health, size, shape, crowds. That's not an accident. From working with people over the last 6 years, I've discovered that most people who are preoccupied or obsessively occupied by thoughts about their bodies, for better or worse, can be avoiding some deeply uncomfortable or unpleasant feelings or realizations. And I would put myself into this bracket myself. I felt that If I didn't look a certain way, I wouldn't get clients. If I didn't look a certain way, I wouldn't fit in. If I didn't look a certain way, how can I expect anyone to like me? Put it another way. Constantly thinking about your body is a way of staying distracted or protected from something you don't want to do or don't know how to handle directly. And that's exactly why so many of us end up obsessed with our own bodies. Who has time to think about their toxic relationship with their mother, their father, their siblings, when they're busy thinking about cellulite, belly fat, the scars that may have appeared through childbirth? Who has time to think about their habits of codependency or people pleasing when their brain is occupied by thoughts of food and what to eat and when? Probably hitting a few sore notes there for a few people. And focusing on our bodies is a really, really highly effective way of avoiding some of the most painful parts of being a human. Because ultimately what we all want realistically is acceptance and validation. We want to be accepted by everyone. And the way we try to control things is if we look a certain way, at least we can control other people liking us that way and getting love and affection that way that we may not have got elsewhere. But you're trying to get it from somewhere else. You're not trying to get it from you. We can't expect anyone else to like us or love us if we can't like or love ourselves. Now that's as cheesy and as generic you're going to get out of me today, but that is a reality. We may not feel worthy of it, self-worth. We may want to be accepted or view others' opinions over ourselves, self-esteem. But there's literally no end in how much time and energy we can spend on our bodies. Whether that means activities like meal planning, working out, emotional activities like resisting sweets or feeling guilty after eating too much, mental cartwheels like picking yourself apart in the mirror or browsing Instagram for recipes. This topic doesn't end. It doesn't have a finish point. And it's the limitlessness of this topic is exactly why it's such a perfect way to stay habitually distracted from the painful stuff that lurks below and what's going on internally. In a world where we often feel out of control, our bodies give us some tangible element of control. In a world that is often unkind and unaccepting, our bodies give us an area of self-improvement with the promise of finally earning the kindness and acceptance that we crave and earn and love and want. Our bodies often become ground zero or the foundations for our pain. They become the carpet, realistically, under what we sweep all that manner of that pain and discomfort, the scapegoat for our problems, the focal point of our magical thinking. We think that when my body is different, then I'll be happy. I'll be happy when I'm this way. I'll be happy when I fit into these clothes. And we double down on that amount of attention and stress we put on our bodies in the hope of finally solving the problem of that unhappiness. But a concept that I've kind of come across over the last little while is a concept called a body story. A body story is the one you tell to your personal trainer and your friends about what you're trying to fix and why. The story you tell yourself about the significance of your body. The body story is usually a layered and complex story involving experiences with culture and personal beauty standards. Stories of proof with your problems can be traced back to your body, with enormous amount of shame, fear, guilt, pain attached to various different details. And you might have multiple stories and body stories, depending on your life experiences. And they're not all negative, but they do place your body at the center of importance. Some examples could be, I'm too big to be sexy. I'm too skinny. I look like a boy. My boobs are too big. My bum is too big. I hold my weight in my midsection. I look pregnant. I look at food. It just goes here. My proportions are all wrong. Men like curvy, thin, athletic women. I look good right now, but I can't relax my tight control over food or exercise or I'll lose it. I look at cake and I lose how I feel. Cellulite is unsightly and gross.
So, and the best I ever looked was school after I got the flu when I was maybe taking or I was sick or whatever it may be. And we create these stories. And many of these body stories are criticisms disguised as facts, which is why we can spend the rest of our lives chasing them, living and dying by them. The body story also always assures us that there is a right and wrong way to have a body, and that if we only fix it, all our flaws will finally be good enough and can bask in that glow of that victory, the success, the power, the attention, the approval and love that are promised to people who look a certain way or have beauty standards or who look perfect. And in this way, some people spend their entire lives wanting their lives to begin until after they fix their flaws, thinking that they need to lose some weight and tone up after they apply for a new job, take up a new hobby, find a partner or go on the dream on a dream trip or whatever it may be. I'll be happy when. This body story protects us from the fear of the unknown and the fear of failing, the fear of success, chasing things that you want to go for. It provides an alibi that you can rely on rather than actually taking risks. And there might be other people who might be happy with how their body looks right now, but feel unable to relax or live their lives because they're beholden to the whole high controlled regimen of diet and exercise that helps them look this way. And this kind of person believes that their worth comes directly from their body appearance or is terrified of losing it. I'll lose my friends if I don't look like this. I'll lose my partner if I don't look like this. I look a certain way and it's helped me get to a certain way in jobs and got me through life in certain ways. But if I lose my looks, I'm going to lose what power or control I have over things. But it's interesting in this kind of situation, the body story or the story that protects them from their deepest insecurities by providing a sense of superiority, easy for me to say, and hope and worthiness. It whispers in your head, in your psyche, amidst a person who's struggling. That's the reality. This whole people struggle to get motivated to change how they feel or want to feel because they are chasing perfection. And if they don't get perfection, well, then we beat ourselves up. And this can impact on our self-worth, our self-esteem. They live in fear. They hide behind the secret flaws rather than thinking they can change or trying to change. It's a really compelling story, this body story that we have. It changes across different cultures and personal experiences. It changes different stages of life. But it's always intertwined with the hierarchy of body value. Ranking some bodies as good, some as bad, and is typically riddled with fat phobia, racism, sexist values. But the important thing to realize is that underneath every body story, there is an actual story of a human. And that story is focusing on your body that is protecting you from, distracting you from, or helping you avoid. This story tends to be painful. Is the reality. It's terrifying. It's deeply layered and complex. There is something soothing about believing that the reason you don't feel fulfilled is because you need to lose 10, 15, 20 pounds, or that you'll finally be happy if you start doing yoga and drinking green juices. No, you'd be fucking miserable because you've got the shits. It's more painful to realize you're unhappy because, for example, you've been doing everything you were supposed to do for a long time, that your life looks nothing like the life of your that you wanted in the long run, or because you need to learn how to establish better boundaries with people, aka be less of a people pleaser, or because your relationship doesn't nourish you and you're lonely, or because your career is heartbreakingly unfulfilling. And if we look at it, you can see how we are dealing with some of these above stories that I've spoken about already, and how they can be painful and how they can be terrifying, in that we have really chosen to be distracted with the story about our body. No amount of fixing, no amount of changing, no amount of obsessing over or focusing on your body will give you what you want. That's because that body story that we speak about is an illusion, a distraction, ultimately a distraction from the truth. Even if you were to achieve all your body goals, the finish line would simply move further away. And the only way to experience that freedom, joy, authenticity, confidence, and embodiment that you've been looking for is to face the real story that we've been talking about. To confront those stories, just confront the difficult stuff through therapy, and then run and stop running away from the uncomfortable truths that you've been facing. So I'm going to give you a few different examples that are probably common practice on some of the amazing people that I've had the pleasure of working with over the last 6 years. And this is a body story for one of them. So I want to lose weight and slim down, because as a child I was big for my age, and my mom, who has her own body weight issues, put me on a diet and told me that nobody likes a fat girl. And then later on I got bullied for being huge, so I spent decades avoiding and doing cardio. I spent decades dieting and doing cardio, but always felt like I was a failure because I could never keep it up for long. Now, I've written these out in a piece of paper, so I can't even read my own handwriting. And the real story behind it is, I've spent my life trying to be what my mom wanted me to be and failing. I always felt like her love was conditional, had to be earned by changing myself. So I learned early on that I'm not inherently lovable. I'm so afraid that this might be true and deeply ashamed that I wasn't born good enough. But I'm also very angry at my mom for making me feel this way. I spent my entire life trying to shrink myself physically and emotionally to be small enough to be good, to be invisible, to take up less space. I'm exhausted and resentful from that effort. I wish I had better boundaries with my mom. I don't even know how or where I could even start to do this and how to let myself break free. So you can see from that example that this person has been hiding behind stories and truth for a long time. This happens a lot more than you think. And it's no wonder people can get obsessed with outsourcing this problem to our bodies. And even if this person finally succeeded at losing the weight, she would still not have healed the underlying issue. And then therefore would not actually experience the validation and worthiness, because she can't see it that she's actually looking for. And the only way to get that would be by dealing with her and dealing with her relationship with her mother, having conversations, being open up to take space and pride, asserting herself, taking ownership of what she can say and what she can do, looking at stopping what other people want and looking at what she wants, aiming for her definition of what good enough is. I'm not saying this is easy, but I am saying it's possible. It might take years. It might take years of therapy, dedicated self-study. But I know this client that I had here, the story is a mixture of about two or three clients that came on top of my head when I wrote down this morning before coming on air. That the three people that we got to that point and that were comfortable enough sharing their stories, we worked through different things. But changing your body out of hate will never work. It's running away from the realistic problem that's happening. Another body story that can kind of appear for people is when they become parents. For this one, my boobs are saggy and gross and embarrassing, and I hate them so much it makes me feel so angry and ashamed when I look at them or have sex. I'm considering getting a boob job to fix them because I can't stand them. Now, before I go any further with this story, I am not going to say anything on how someone should look or someone should, manage their body. It's not my job. The real story behind this is, due to some inappropriate early sexual experiences, I learned that my body existed for male pleasure and that my value came from being able to titillate them and give them what they want. I'm obsessed with fixing my flaws because I feel like I owe men a perfect body. So I put a ton of energy into looking as perfect as possible through obsessively monitored diet and exercise. I can't control my breasts though, and since they don't fit into the modern beauty standard, they feel like evidence I'm imperfect and therefore a failure. My identity is based on what men want, and my self-worth is dependent on what they think of me. I've never had much time or energy to discover who I want to be. Powerful story. And that person went to therapy and came up with the reasons why. Can you see how much pain, scary and complex that story can actually be? Can you also see if the person in the second example dealt with and worked through the self-identity piece and self-worth issues, the focus would be less on the breasts and more how they wanted to be? People can spend years and years and decades and decades and decades focused on their body story and get nowhere, because it serves only as a superficial distraction from the important stuff. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and say it is easy. But learning to recognize it is the first step. Being aware of it is the first step. And getting a decent therapist, getting a decent coach, journaling, introspection can build this. So you might need to learn how to feel. You might need to do some work on behavior patterns, establishing boundaries, putting your needs first, looking at your stronger self, figuring out what that is, just diversifying your self-worth, chasing your desires, processing anger, asking for help, networking. The good news is that by simply recognizing that you have a body story, you're already on your way to where you want to go. It's really important that you recommend by starting to identify the thoughts and behaviors that keep you stuck in your body story. If we think about it, in what ways do we give power and validation to the idea and to that cultural idea that your body is the most important part of your life, the bane of your existence or the happiness or key to your happiness? A real common one is criticizing your body in the mirror every time you see it. Talking about feeling fat to your friends. Spending stretches of time looking up clean recipes, inverted commas, whatever that is. Silly diet plans. Putting a lot of effort into getting ready with hair, makeup, weighing yourself frequently, having silly diet rules and rigid rules around food or exercise. Or otherwise spending time, effort, or attention on your body. But every time you notice yourself doing one of these habits or behaviors, explore it. Don't be afraid to actually explore it. And you can explore it by asking a few different difficult questions. What don't I want to think about right now? What don't I want to feel right now? What might this habit be distracting me from? What might this habit be protecting me from? What might this habit be helping me avoiding, knowing, feeling, or facing? And as you actually go through those answers, challenge yourself to dig deeper. Because if you say, I don't know, it could be that you don't know how, but it also could be that you haven't thought about it enough. So for example, maybe you're looking in the mirror, maybe you're weighing yourself in every day. And you might be tempted to say, weighing yourself distracts me from worrying about what I weigh today. Or you spend a lot of time focused on meal planning or prep and you want to stay focusing on what I eat helps me avoid junk food. Both of these could be true, but they're still pretty superficial. Dig deeper. Like an onion, there's an extra layer. Maybe focusing on your weight helps you to protect you from needing to go after what you really want out of life. Because you've been bargaining with yourself that you only take those risks when you lose the weight. Or maybe focusing on food helps you avoid checking in how your body feels. If so, what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to feel? You can gain a far more important understanding of yourself by doing this. You can check in on your needs and what's really standing in the way of your life. The big thing is, and this is the biggest tip, it's almost never your body. So if any of these sound familiar, you feel anxious about going into clothes shops, wearing certain clothes, dreading an event, getting into pictures, taking progress pictures, videos, hiding yourself, scrolling through social media, making you feel worse, you're not alone. So if this episode has resonated with you, please do tag up on your story. Please leave a review. Please share it with friends. If you feel heard, pop us a DM. If you want to work with me on one-to-one coaching, pop us a DM or click the link in the show notes. I hope this episode has helped you and realize that your body is distracting you from something. The body isn't the issue. And I hope you're okay.